Whatever you use to read the scriptures, and turn with me to John's Gospel and to chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, we read in chapter 18. We're turning now to chapter 14. And again, verse 6, we began to consider this verse last Lord's Day. Jesus said to him, as to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And it is that we considered what was involved in Jesus saying, "I am the way." Now, with God's help, we consider what it is that it means for us when Jesus says, "I am the truth," that it is that the Bible presents Christ Jesus as the truth. As far as the jury was concerned, last week, he wasn't telling the truth. In fact, they were of the opinion that 34 times he hadn't been telling the truth. And all of us, I think, probably know that I'm making reference to Donald Trump. And as to what happens over the next number of weeks and months until November at the election, it's only the Lord himself who knows how it is that the days ahead will unfold. But each one of us here today, whatever our calling, whatever it is that we're from, we know the importance in life of knowing what is true as against what is false. We know of the heartache, perhaps, that has come into our experience when we thought someone was telling us the truth, and yet it is that we found that they were lying to us. Think of it this way. If it was that I said to you that 4 plus 4 equals 9, it is that you would tell me that I was wrong. And yet it is. What if I said to you 4 plus 4 does equal 9, because that is what I want to believe and you cannot convince me otherwise? If it is that you come across somebody who tenaciously holds to the argument and says, "For me, 4 and 4 equals 9, they'll also probably say something like, "This is my truth." But let's be honest with ourselves. Does 4 and 4 equal 9? Absolutely not. 4 and 4 in this world, in the sane world, equals 8. And it is that 4 and 4 equals 8 and doesn't equal 9 because of established principles and laws that are known throughout the entire universe. That it is that you can be in this world, it is that you can be in the outer reaches of the galaxy, and it is that wherever you be, 4 and 4 will equal 8. And yet it is that we find ourselves living in a crazy time. And when it is that if we protest and say that 4 and 4 can never equal 9, there are some who will say to us, "Yes, it can. And the reason it can is because this is my truth." How dare you say to someone today and tell them not to speak their truth? But what if this is my truth, that 4 and 4 cannot equal 9, that 4 and 4 equals 8? And you have the truth of the other person who says 4 and 4 equals 9. The question is, shouldn't I be able to speak my truth as they themselves would speak their truth? You see, your truth may not be the truth, and it may be also at the same time that my truth that I tenaciously hold on to may not be the truth. And it's a reminder to us that there are multiple views or interpretations as to what truth is, but it is that the scripture tells us that there is only one truth. Certainly there are multiple ways to express truth, but there is only one truth. Declaring something or someone as my truth, it is something that gives an inaccurate, an unhelpful perception, and it's dangerous and it's deadly, because it's saying to us that truth is changing. It's saying to us that truth is not a constant, and it's not a constant in our day-to-day experience. And it's saying to us that this is the inevitable reality that we have to reckon with. And that's why it is that there are so many people in the world today, and it is that their lives are an absolute disaster, because whether it is that they know it or not, their philosophy of life is that 4 and 4 equals 9, and it is that expresses itself in so many ways. Doesn't help people, but it hurts them, since it leaves them without anything consistent or trustworthy on which it is that they're able to stand. And just because I insist that something is true for me, the end of the day doesn't make it true. Think on it. Plenty of times we've believed, perhaps, that something is true for us, when in reality it was false. For instance, no matter how much I believed that the tooth fairy was the one who was putting a few bucks under my pillow through the night, when it was after I had lost a tooth, my truth in believing about the tooth fairy, that was not the truth. Pilate said to Jesus, as we read, "What is truth?" And Jesus says to us today, "Who am I? I am the truth. I am the truth. Jesus went on speaking to his disciples and declared, I am the truth. Now, when it is that we think about the nature of truth, we often think in terms of propositions, in terms of words that are said. The words that are spoken that describe a situation or describe an attitude of or the way that we are, it is that these words can either be true or they can be false. If it is that I stood and declared to you, the moon is made of green cheese and is inhabited by giant mice who eat the green cheese, you would look at me as if I was strange. You would be saying to me, what are you on today, Alan? And the reason is because I would not be speaking the truth, but I would be living in some sort of fantasy. You see, if something is not true, it cannot be verified, and it cannot stand up to the test of scrutiny. For anything to be proven as true, it must be according to some principles or laws that are themselves proven and unchangeable, like 4 and 4 equals 8 and not 9. When it is that we come to the truth of Scripture, of God's Word, the words of Scripture, the propositional truth of Scripture, how do we know that this word is true? Well, the reason we know that it is true is because Scripture is the word of God, who is himself faithful and true. For God to be God and to be the God who reveals himself in Jesus Christ as the Holy One of Israel, it is that this God speaks in truth and is truth and cannot utter lies. And so therefore it is the word that he has given us from the Old into the New Testament, it is of necessity in terms of the fact that the word of God is that which is breathed out by himself. By its very nature, it is truth. The reason that Scripture is true is because of the one who has given it to us. You remember Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, and he says, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is exhaled by God. It is the very breath of God that we have here in our Bibles today. And it is that as we read the Word that we interact with the God who is himself and true. And because of God who he is in and of himself, what he has spoken must of necessity be true. So when Jesus declares to Thomas and the disciples, I am the truth, we understand this only by a way of the words that Jesus spoke, and it is that these words, they tied up and were verified by the life and the teaching that Christ himself exhibited in the 3 years of his earthly ministry. Indeed, it is that we can take it and say that in Jesus Christ, we have the one who is truth personified, that in Jesus Christ, we have the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and it is in Jesus Christ that we have the one in whom it is that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So if it is that you really want to know what is true today, if it is what you want to know, what truth must mean for you and your experience today, then it is that you must know Jesus Christ. You see, if our knowledge of Jesus today is via our own imaginations and thoughts, then it is that we do not have an objective foundation on which to rest our faith. For it is for our faith to grow and to build, there must be one standard, one solid foundation on which it is that our faith rests. And that solitary standard and only standard is the Word of God, which is wholly true in every part and in every way. John 18, as we read it, we find Jesus being questioned by Pilate. And the Jews had delivered him up to Pilate. And Pilate says to him, and you can almost imagine the cynicism dripping from the words that Pilate utters, so you're a king. And as he sees this young rabbi standing before him, Jesus says, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus says here, I am the truth. I am the one who embodies truth. I am the one and the only one who verifies the prophecies of the Old Testament. And I am the one and the only one who fulfills God's holy law. So it is that if we want to know truth in our lives, we must interact with the Word made flesh and the Word inscripturated, the propositions of God's Word. The second thing we can say with regard to Jesus saying, I am the truth, is that this is truth in person. There is one reason why the Lord is called the Word. And the reason he's called the Word is because he himself is truth in person. In verses 7 to 11 of this chapter, he shows how, as the truth, he is revealing the Father. And it is that he says to these people that he alone is the one who is the only way to the Father. And it is that he is the Word, he is God, he shows us the Father. He displays the infinite character of God, and he shows forth the utter holiness of God. And that's why it is that daily we must seek an audience with Jesus Christ. We live at a time when lies abound. We live at a time when it is that they're terrified what it is that computers are able to do in terms of putting together images and words and presenting something that is a total lie and yet expressing it as the truth of a situation. It is that there's deceitfulness that abounds all around us. It is that there's a great lie being perpetrated today by the evil one, when it is that he's saying to countless millions, you don't need to believe in God, you don't need to believe in heaven, you don't need to believe in hell, you don't need to believe in the fact that there is such a thing as sin and that you're a sinner. And it is that that's the truth. That's the biggest lie of all. Think of the biggest lie that was spoken in the Garden of Eden, when it is that he said to Eve, you shall be as gods. That's what you shall be. And that was a lie. And the disaster that came from believing that lie. Let me ask you today, who and what is it that you believe? Are you believing the truth of Jesus and that he is the truth? That he can lead you into all truth and knowledge, not only concerning yourself, but concerning him, concerning his Father in glory? Or is it that you're believing the lies of the world? Think of the countless lies that we're bombarded with on a daily basis. Lies that would deny that we're made in the image of God. Lies that would deny that there is a distinct difference between men and women. Lies that would deny that it is that in terms of relationships, the way that God has created us, that it is that rightful and God-honoring relationship and marriage is between only a man and a woman. And yet it is that there are those who are constantly bombarding us with lie after lie after lie. And you know what it's like. Eventually, sometimes, you start to doubt. You start to wonder. You say, well, maybe it is that maybe it is that I was wrong, or that the Word of God is wrong, and maybe it is that the wisdom of men is that which I should be listening to. That's why you need to be in God's house, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, that you come under the truth and the authority of the Word of God, that it is that you gather with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who rejoice in the truth that is theirs in Christ Jesus. And this is what it means for us, I think. That God isn't whatever you want God to be. That's the philosophy of so many today. That they make God in their image, or what it is that they think is a good image for them. God is who he is, whether you like it or not. God is not like some silly putty in the hands of those who wish to twist and shape him into something that's palatable for them, for their lifestyle and for their senses. It is that he has always been and always will be forever the same. His character doesn't change, his revealed will doesn't change, and it doesn't change especially when the culture changes or when it is that he falls out of favor with human opinion. And that's where we are today. And Jesus Christ, and only Christ, defines and embodies and speaks truth, whether you think he does or not. You see, the plain fact of the matter is, simply because you don't like some of the things Jesus said or did, doesn't mean that they aren't true. Let me say it again. Simply because you don't like some of the things Jesus said or did, doesn't mean they aren't true. Truth is not what works for the majority. Truth is not what feels good for the majority. Truth is not that which is the majority of people in a public opinion poll and what it is that they define truth as. Truth is not that that fits the need of the moment. And truth is not that that feeds your self-esteem or makes you feel good about yourself. But truth is what God has revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He has stated infallibly in the written word of God, the Scriptures. The truth about God and humanity is in the Scripture. The truth about heaven and hell is in the Scripture. The truth about right and wrong is in the Scripture. And the truth about what is righteous or unrighteous is in the Scripture. And the truth of what it means with regard to the expression of human sexual conduct, it never changes because it's in the Scripture. You may not like it. Millions don't like it today. Your feelings may not agree with it. But that doesn't mean that it has any effect one way or another upon the truth and upon the person of Christ. There is no greater tragedy in our day than the relativization of truth. That it is that we decide that truth responds to the situations that we're in. That it is that one day truth will mean this in a certain situation, and another day truth will mean that in a certain situation. That just doesn't work. It's like I was thinking this morning before I came out, and I thought, okay, if you take the truth, if you take it that it's true that 4 + 4 = 9, even in terms of engineering, there's going to be a lot of disasters, because the calculations that the engineers make, that this product or that product, that it might be safe and usable, more often than not, it depends on the calculations that they make. And if the calculations are wrong, disaster follows. And that's why it's important to challenge yourself today and ask, am I becoming one who really relativizes truth when it suits me? You see, there are many who tell us today that truth is not a transcendent or eternal or transcultural. Truth is whatever you want it to be. And as long as it gives you a sense of well-being and value and purpose of life, and if you don't like the truth of the Bible, then it's no big deal. And that's the reality that we face. You can make up your own truth. Have you ever done that? You can create your own theology. That's why it is that so many churches are collapsing today, because the theology that they're creating is not and proclaiming is not from the truth of God's word. It is that you can have people in pulpits now preaching, and it is that they don't believe that God exists, and they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And yet it is that they're of the mindset that they're proclaiming truth. And you have to ask yourself, have they really read the word of God? Have they understood the word of God? You can establish your own sexual ethics. Is that not what we see abounding today? And indeed, I think within a generation, there are going to be many sad, lonely, hurt people. It is that there are going to be mental problems abounding everywhere. Why? Because they were sold a lie as to what it means to be a man or a woman, as to what it means to be in a God-honoring relationship. And it is that their lives will be destroyed. Truth is who Jesus Christ is, and what He has said, and what He has done, and what He is yet to declare. Listen to John in Revelation 19 from the beginning, and how he speaks of Jesus. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. That's who he is. That's who we must know today, the one who is faithful and true. You go back to John 8, and Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, there are many today, and they think they're free to live as they want, however they want, wherever and whenever they want. But Jesus says, and has said 2,000 years ago, and it still applies, they are not free. Because you can only know of true freedom when it is that you know of true truth. When it is that you know of me as the one who is the way and the truth. He says later in that chapter in John 8, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Are you in bondage to sin today? Yet you think you're free? Remember, it is that the rock group Queen, and they had as one of their hit singles, I Want to Be Free. You probably have the tune going through your head even as I mentioned it. And yet, sadly, they weren't free. Sadly, Freddie Mercury, great talent, great singer, great songwriter, he wasn't free. He paid the price in his own life for that. And so Jesus is saying to us, know this, that if you don't have me as the way and the truth in your life, then it is that you're in deep slavery. It is that you're like the convict that you see in the cartoon, who is the ball and chain tied to his ankle. And he wants to run fast. He wants to run free, but he can't. Why? Because the chain and the ball, heavy, difficult to carry, difficult to move about with, holding him back, holding him down, making him trip up and fall over so often. He knows he's not free. And then for us today, I think one of the most important questions is, that we ask ourselves, do we know of truth in our relationship, in our day-to-day walk? See, truth is not to be something that you admire from a distance. You can see something that speaks of truth, and you thank God for it. Truth is not to be something that you flee from. It is that truth is attractive, and by its very nature, should attract us to that which is true. But truth, and in the basis of what Jesus is saying here, is that which has to be embraced in relationship. That each day we go through this life, that we are in a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. That it is that by faith we enter into a faith relationship with Christ. And in that basis, we are now of the truth and of God. So let me ask you, has Jesus become the truth to you? Do you gladly and willingly rejoice that Jesus is your truth? Has your life been consumed by the living truth? Or what is consuming your life? What's consuming my life? Is it that the living truth you're having daily interaction with it in the living Word of God, Jesus Christ? That it is that when you're faced with a situation, and you're wondering what's true and what's not true, what's a lie, that you cry out to Him. And you say, you are the way and the truth. I'm asking you to guide me and to help me. When you hear His voice speaking to you in saving power, and it is that you willingly and gladly bow before Him, then it is that you're responding in truth. You see, Jesus said these words 2,000 years ago, but He's saying them still to us today, and He'll be saying them still in 2,000 years to come if He hasn't yet returned. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You see, the truth about God and what God is like doesn't change. We live in an age of computers and so many technological wonders, but the truth doesn't change. You can choose to be offended or to have your feelings hurt when it is that you hear that 2 + 2 = 4 and it doesn't equal 9. But that doesn't change the truth of the equation, that 4 + 4 = 8 and doesn't equal 9. Just as it doesn't change the truth of God's word when he says through the truth, Jesus, no one comes to the Father except through me. Tragically, there are many today that think if we can simply get enough people to believe the opposite of what the word of God teaches, then we can render the word of God false. And there are many, and that's what they're employed in today. One writer I was reading put it like this, and I quote, "The great need of our day isn't that Christians must adjust their understanding of truth to the prevailing winds and trends of modern culture." That's a great need that is ours. The great need, rather, is for culture, for human opinion and behavior to bend and to be aligned in conformity with the revelation of truth as seen in the person of Jesus Christ and the inspired word of God. Joshua has left us, 10 minutes ago. He's heading out to a pride gathering today. He's going to be there with colleagues who are witnessing to the truth, who are witnessing to the truth of the biblical ethic, who are witnessing to the truth of how it is that we should live our lives as created in the image of God. And no doubt there's going to be many, and they will be angry with Joshua and his colleagues. But that doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth of God's word. Regardless of how people respond to what God has made known in Scripture, regardless of how people think about Jesus Christ, truth remains unadulterated, unaltered, undiluted, and eternal. End of argument. That's it, bottom line. You may be angry with me. You may be upset with me. Well, I say take your anger and your sense of being upset to God and ask him to reveal the truth to you as it is in Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone, and I'm finishing with this, is the truth that saves. You fob Jesus off today at your peril. You hear Jesus today and you live forever. How's it going to be with you? I pray that you might know of the one who is truth and who can reveal truth to you. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we have to confess that so often we listen to the lies of the world and the lies of men. We have to confess that even we ourselves, from time to time, that we lie. It is that we try and make it seem all right by saying, well, it was a white lie. It was just a fib. But it was not truth. And we pray, Father, that each one of us today, here and online, that we would seek to know this Jesus who is the embodiment of truth. The truth that he tells us about what it means to be created in the image of God. The truth that he tells us about sin and salvation and the need to be saved. The truth that he tells us about the fact that we have an eternal soul. And whether we believe his truth, or even as John tells us, the lies of the devil, who's always been a liar, this will determine where we spend eternity. We pray that all of us, without exception, we might be found one day in the presence of the one who is truth and the truth. So Lord, bless to us this word. Go with us through the rest of your day. Forgive our sins. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.